In the collect of today's Mass, we pray, implant in our hearts a love of thy name, O God. Increase in us true religion. Nourish the things that are good. And in the gospel we heard, they did eat and were filled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lots of texts today, but only one message, that true religion, God, has implanted in our hearts. You see it in John the Baptist. We had a fine celebration for his birthday, Thursday night and Friday morning. Now, his second birth took place before his first. He's an altogether extraordinary saint. We celebrate that on Saturday, the Visitation, when he was purified of original sin while still in his mother's womb. When Elizabeth heard Our Lady's greetings, the infant John leaped in her womb. The muffled sound of Mary's voice filled him with the Holy Ghost. What a dramatic reaction. Talk about true religion. The mere presence of Mary, Queen of Prophets, makes that little baby who's going to become the last of the prophets leap, and leaping, leave behind the first man's sin. During girls' camp this past week, Father Lectoranda told the campers about three Old Testament heroines, beginning with Rebecca, who also felt movement in her womb. She was carrying twins, Esau and Jacob, and they were struggling, the one with the other. And she asked our Lord why this should be so. And he told her that something spiritual, something prophetic, was going on inside her. Struggle, too, you see, is part of true religion. The elder shall serve the younger, God told Rebecca. And Our Lady cried out at the Visitation, He hath put down the mighty from their seats. Struggle. Nobody ever said religion was going to be easy. But the joy of it, there's another leaping in Scripture that you see with David. We're reading about him these days in the Divine Office at Matins. When he escorted the Ark into the holy city, Jerusalem, to a place of honor, he leaped for joy. The Ark, that's a type or a foretelling of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as well as the tabernacle on our altar. And he loved God so much that he couldn't contain himself. That's true religion. That's the way it was, some of you remember, way back with our founding faithful in the late 1970s and the early 80s. So grateful in their enthusiasm to have found the Mass and the faith again, they couldn't get enough. They came hungry and often to church. The tabernacle, Mary, God. And they were always fed. A bit like our internet congregation these days. From time to time, someone will send us a note. I live 500 miles away from a Mass. If I were closer, I'd be in that pew every day. But how grateful I am, at least be able virtually to participate in the Holy Sacrifice. They, back then, perhaps some of you today, and certainly all of those who are tuning in from far away throughout the world today, they look forward to it. They love the Mass. It wasn't a grim duty for them. It was a joy, as it was for David, as it is, I imagine, for many a Protestant who packs one of those big mega churches, sipping his Starbucks, of course, but they don't have mortal sin. He's there because he wants to be there. Or I remember this little Pentecostal church in Sharonville, right down the street from our own. Twice on Sunday, they came back in the evening, imagine, and they didn't even have Vespers or benediction. And on Wednesdays, their midweek meeting, and they were true and proper Pentecostals, they were holy rollers, and they danced in the aisle. And sometimes you heard the music. And David danced in that procession. Regardless of his royal dignity, he leaped and danced, and his wife, Michal, mocked him for it, and God punished her with barrenness. And David answered his wife, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. Are you in practicing the true faith? What a love for his name did God implant in that great king's heart. And Isaiah, he wrote that in an age to come, our Lord sent this message to John the Baptist, the lame will walk. But Isaiah says, the lame will leap for joy in the kingdom, as should we. Leaping, kicking. I think a mother today would probably say that she felt her baby kick. Now that's a good kick, isn't it? Kickbacks, of course, are bad. That's what politicians do with devout regularity. And we still vote for them, of course. Some official taking millions of dollars in speaking fees and then doing in return certain favors for the companies who had invited that individual. Did you know kickback is one of those homonyms that has several meanings? It's bad if you're going to kick back on a Sunday morning and relax rather than make it to church, or if you kick back indeed all summer long. But there's another good one, and it means a response, a sudden and a strong reaction. This kind of a kickback we're seeing in the world today as the peasants are revolting against the mendacious masters of the New World Order, the organized forces of naturalism. And you may see, oh happy day, in this Brexit business, a striking blow, a kickback. For what? For Catholic social doctrine, subsidiarity. Remember, the Church teaches that the great weighty matters of government are to be handled on the lowest possible and the most local possible a level. That is our doctrine. And may our Lord indeed nourish the things that are good still in the world today. These leaps, these kicks, show us something which is implanted in man. Not the kind of a chip they want to put into you, our rulers, but something which is encoded in the very way God has made us, whereby everyone can recognize God and his handiwork and his natural law and our duties to him. Even little children, like John the Baptist still in the womb, or great kings and rulers like David, and maybe even voters today. It's a step, it's a kick, which could turn into yet some recognition of God and his law. Our catechism today, in what does the goodness of the good God consist? In what are our duties to God? His goodness consists in this, that he desires the welfare of all human beings. And the proof we saw last week, that he told us to call him Father, and he vindicates his claim on being Father, not like some who abandon their children. No, God the Father takes care of us in all of his works and in all of his ways. Why did he make the world and make us? Not for himself. He's already perfectly happy. If he could be any happier, he wouldn't be God. But because he is a most loving Father, and he delights to shower benefits on us, his creatures, he wants to share his happiness with angels and with men. Why did God send his Son to redeem the world and save us from eternal damnation? Again, not for his own sake. He's perfectly happy. God could not be happy. But he redeemed us out of love. That great verse in St. John, Sic Deus dilexit mundum, for God hath so loved the world. Why does God do everything that he does? Why does he maintain the universe in existence? Why does he people the earth? Why does he protect us with angels? Why does he provide for our rule and government? Why does he preserve, even today, nations, countries, our country, the church? All of this is for us. It is proof of his goodness. His desire is for our welfare, for the salvation of all men. Could you give me some examples of his benefits? Could I? Look, temporal benefits, life, health, food, clothing, your body, its members, its senses, the goods of your soul, your mind, the ability to reason, to figure things out, your understanding, to see how things fit together and what they really mean. Your memory, to remember the past and maybe learn from it. Your will, whereby you are free to choose that which is good. And your conscience, which is the judgment you make that this is good, and this is evil, and I must not. And then that infinite gift, one writer calls it, I mean your immortal soul. You will never cease to be a conscious being. And the graces, the means the good God has given you to save that soul of yours, the sacraments, prayers, doctrine, our devotions, promises, so many promises in the last century. God outdoes himself in generosity. He wants you to be with him in eternity. And more, God makes himself to be not only your redeemer, your surety, the price of your sin. He becomes your brother, and he is your friend. He is, we dare to say, our father. He is, we must work for it, our king. And he is always there in our ark, the tabernacle, kept prisoner by love, ready to be the food of our souls. Last of all, to what does the goodness of God oblige us? The goodness of God obliges us to gratitude for his many gifts. Do Christians sin grievously against God by ingratitude? Hard to figure it, but alas, it is so. So many, all week long, rise and go to bed, eat, and pass the whole of their week without ever a thought or a prayer of God. So many there are who even despise their Catholic faith, the years of their catechism and their innocence, the sacraments, And even fairly, dare we say, good Catholics, sermons, and even Mass itself. Are we obliged then to render thanks to God with words, with thoughts, with prayer? Yes, but that's not all. Also in deed. How? By making good use of all of these gifts and graces of God. And what about for those who will not? Think seven. There were seven loaves in the gospel, and all of that multitude of 4,000 were fed, and there were left over seven baskets of bread. That symbolizes God taking care of you 7-7 all day long, every day of the week. He feeds you, He provides for you. And the beginning of the week, He invites you to be fed in your own soul. But already in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, God warns that even in this life, there is a punishment for those who are ungrateful. I will bring seven more plagues upon you for your sins. Plagues or blessings, it is our choice. Are we finished? Not yet. There's your neighbor. Don't forget him. Religion true and undefiled before God and the Father, says St. James, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their tribulation. In a word, benevolence to your fellow man, to show this charity indeed. And thus, we must recognize the God who has implanted in our hearts His love. May He increase in you true religion. We all do need that are and are. We must recognize that no longer resist God's grace. We must recognize, and with St. John and King David and our Blessed Lady and the Catholics who have gone before us, let us rejoice. After all, we too have eaten and are filled. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.